had the ability to kind of soothe my own soul through the gift of writing that God has blessed me with, songs like Healing. But when I think about the generations before and I remember hearing the hymns and the songs of the old school, I think about hearing my grandmother sing on Sunday morning and what she would sing if she found herself in the positions that I found myself in at times. And one song crosses my mind and it goes a little like this. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead. And let me stand. I'm tired. I am weak. And
wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, August the 3rd, 2014. The masses of the poor working class, oppressed proletariat, masses of disorganized people of the earth in trouble all the time because of the wickedness of the system. Those who have our ears, those who have our minds, that are our pastors and governors and leaders. And the word pastor in the Old Testament African Hebrew means not just religious leader, but governor and teacher. So any government leader, president, senator, congressperson, governor, mayor, all of you are leaders and teachers, and you have been charged with the responsibility of uniting the people. You that are financial leaders have been charged with uniting and not destroying the people. The scripture says, woe to the pastors who destroy the flock, who divide the flock. All of this that the system is doing is destroying and dividing the flock. You have our ear. You have our mind. But you will not unite us with the true teaching of the Spirit of the Almighty in the universe, in ourselves, that would raise up the religious institutions to unite and stand against the system and stand up for the people. In Argentina, they were suffering under crushing debt. They chose one portion to pay, chose another portion not to pay. It is their right. It is their right to say they're not going to pay any of it, because all of this usury, all of this interest is absolutely against the laws of universal existing and living from Almighty Yahuwah. Every 7 years in ancient African Hebrew Israelite nation, they would wipe out all debt, all usury, all interest. Matter of fact, usury was illegal, but all debt was wiped out. No interest in ancient Israel, not this fake modern day Israel, but ancient African Hebrew Israelite society. No debt, no interest, against God's law. All debt wiped out every 7 years. And after seven of those 7 years, which is seven-year Sabbaths, you get to 49, and then 50 is the year Jubilee. And if you lost your land because of debt, you and your family retrieved your land. The land was returned to you. So Argentina would have been justified standing on the laws of the Almighty, saying, we're not going to pay none of your debt. So they chose a portion to pay, chose a portion not to pay. They defaulted on their sovereign debt by failing to repay United States hedge funds led by NML Capital. Now, certain, we call them vulture capitalists, firms, purchased Argentina's debt for bargain prices, but refused to cut the value of their holdings as most of the regular creditors did. So you have a situation that the vulture capitalists, firms, hedge fund and firms, they purchased this debt for less than the original value of the debt, but now they want full payment of the original debt, even though they purchased the debt at bargain rates. And so, my beautiful sister, president of Argentina, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, I love her because she is thus far taking a stand against such wickedness. So you see how all of us are in trouble. Disease, warfare, bloodshed, economic warfare. We're in trouble, sisters and brothers. And so verse 4 in 2 Corinthians talks about being comforted in a time of tribulation. You see, the masses of the people need to be comforted. And the word comforted has to do with encouraging, exhorting, giving instruction. Instruction on how to overcome all of this trouble and console the individual. Make them feel better. They're already feeling bad, feeling terrible. Did not Bob Marley say, we don't need no more trouble. What we need is love to guide and protect us all. We don't need your troubles. So we're already in trouble. We don't need to be brought down lower. We need comfort. We need consolation. But that word in the African Hebrew is deep. It means also encouragement, exhortation, and instruction. We need teaching. I'm back to thinking about the teaching we received from Almighty Yahuwah, Father and Mother, when we were in the waters of noon. We received the teachings, and now we're fighting through those who have our ears and our minds to get back to that original teaching that we were born in. That's the original virgin birth. If virgin birth is defined as birth not having the help or aid of any human hands, then no human woman ever gave birth, virgin birth, to any child, because she's a human being, and certainly the child came through her. But the only birth that is really and truly virgin is that original birth in the waters of noon, when we were all one, no boundary, no barrier, all in order, all in peace and tranquility, that waters of noon that the Almighty in Jeremiah 1 and 5 says, I knew you, that word has to do with relationship, before you were formed in the wombs of your mothers. And so this original birth is the real and original and only true virgin birth, as it had no help but by human hands at all. And so, comforted with instruction to overcome our situation. For as the sufferings of Christ abound, the suffering that was put on the head of Christ Yahushua is on our heads. Why? Because we dare to stand up against the system. We dare to take the minds and the ears of the people from out of the hands of the wicked ruling class, and we dare to connect the ear and minds of the people with the Spirit of the Almighty, so we can truly hear what the Spirit, Mother Holy Spirit, is saying to us, to the churches, to the mosques, to the cathedrals, to the synagogues, to the temples. We were afflicted, and this affliction is your consolation and salvation. It is effectual, and in the enduring of same sufferings which we also suffer. So Paul is saying, we're standing up. We're apostles. We're standing up, fighting the system. We're raising up the people in the knowledge of the universe and existing and living for all. We're standing up against the Sanhedrin. We're standing up against the judges. We're standing up against those men and women whose minds are under the control of the wicked ruling class and ruling families, who are using these technocrats, judges, heads of government, educational, financial, religious institutions, to facilitate death. Here we are facilitating life. And this, we are being afflicted. Think of the civil rights movement. Oh, so much is coming to the mind. Think of the civil rights movement. Think of Dr. King. Think of Minister Malcolm X. Think of Elijah Muhammad, Marcus Garvey, Noble Drew Ali, Fannie Lou Hamer, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, so on and so forth. But focus in on the South. Do you know what those ancestors went through? The afflictions that they went through in order that we may have a modicum of freedom, justice, and equality? Do you know it was threatenings of bombings day and night? Do you know that the Klan and the police and the city leaders threatening death on the heads of our ancestors, black mainly, but white as well, who would come and help us, anyone who would come and help us, the threats of death? Do you know that it got so bad that although the prevailing philosophy in the civil rights movement was nonviolence, and the practice of nonviolence in public demonstrations and public civil disobedience, but do you know that it got so bad that there was a deacons of defense who came with weapons to expressly protect Dr. King and protect the lives of those who would demonstrate in the movement? We're not advocating weapons, but we're talking about trouble everywhere. We're talking about affliction everywhere. And we are looking at how different people react to trouble and affliction. Sisters and brothers, I heard on Africa Today, a program called Africa Today, I believe it was the July 28th or the July 21st program. I'll try my best to have that in my summary page. But the individual that wrote a particular book on the movement began to talk about that it was so bad that even Dr. King had weapons in his house to protect the lives of his family. This fella on Africa Today talked about how Dr. King went down to register to have a permit for weapons. They denied it to him, but apparently he had weapons in his home because that's how bad it had gotten in the South, in the civil rights movement, those who were standing up and being afflicted and faced with trouble at every hand. But they were disciplined in that when they went into the public and demonstrated, they carried no weapons. But in their homes, they said, hey, we got to live to see another day to make the day better so that our babies and the next generation won't have to live this way. We're not advocating guns, and we don't say that killing people is the solution, but we're pointing out that when you stand up against the system, affliction comes and troubles come. And so Paul is telling the Corinthian church the same way we're standing up for your consolation and salvation, you will have to stand up and endure the same type of sufferings, the same type of afflictions. But know that you are comforted and you are consoled and you are working on, the scripture says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation. This salvation does not come by just sitting down and doing nothing. The message came to us and we didn't do anything necessarily to get the message. That is grace, the grace of the Almighty, the grace of the Almighty in the universe, the power in the universe to actually turn us towards the message of truth and justice and righteousness, the power in the universe to actually allow us to experience love and truth and righteousness and all that is good, that is grace. But the salvation, you have to work that salvation. The word salvation, among many other meanings, is defined as being free from molestation. The system molesting men, women, boys, and girls. It has to do with the preservation of life. And it says specifically, physical life. It says life concerning the soul, concerning the spirit and whatnot, but it says physical life. The problem with the church, mosque, cathedral, synagogue, and temple is that they only want us to focus on the spirit and your soul going to heaven as they interpret it. But the ancients saw it all as one and saw the reality that if you can't experience heaven on earth, then you've missed the mark. You've missed the mark. If the spirit energy has no power and force to bring effectual and enduring, effectual change in your physical life, in the physical realm and the physical plane, then you've missed and we've missed the mark. The church says, oh, God only want to deal with your sins. Well, colonialism is a sin. Slavery is a sin. Exploitation is a sin. Warfare and bloodshed based on lies is a sin. These are sins. Economic warfare is a sin. And the word sin has to do with the reality that the Most High wants you and me to be ourselves that the Most High created us to be, and that we should have every right to the portion of the universe that is allotted to ourselves by the Almighty, and when the system causes us to deviate from our original identity in the Almighty and in the universe, and when the system causes us to deviate from having access to the very portion of the universe that is our divine right, that is a sin, because we are all missing the mark, moved off the pathway of our original identity and our possession and inheritance and allotment in the universe. So Paul is telling the Corinth church, stand up, be steadfast, and know that you are partakers in the sufferings, but you are also partakers in the consolation. Meaning, yes, we're suffering because we're standing up for the truth, but at the same time, we are receiving encouragement, exhortation, and instruction to continue the work so that we may overturn this system. We are not ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that portion that is associated with Turkey, Asia Minor. The apostles were facing death and oppression because they dared to stand up. Does this not remind us of the civil human rights, black power movement and struggle, and the women's suffrage movement and struggle, and the anti-war left student movement and struggle? Did not our ancestors suffer all type of persecution and oppression because they dared to stand up against the modern day Sanhedrin and technicians doing the bidding of the modern day Roman Empire and the modern day wicked ruling class and ruling families? Our ancestors suffered, but we had the sentence of death in our lives, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth the dead. Dr. King knew that he was going to die. Minister Malcolm X knew that he was going to die. And no, the Nation of Islam had nothing to do with the death of Minister Malcolm X. That was CIA, FBI, Fraternal Order of the Police. But Malcolm X knew that his life was short. Those ancestors who stood up and faced death every day, death every night, those of our sisters and brothers living under the boot oppression of the wicked forces in the South and all over the United States of North America, in the ghettos and in the barrios. Today, sisters and brothers, men, women, boys, and girls living under death sentence because the wicked ruling class and ruling families, as I have said repetitiously over and over again, they have the philosophy of eugenics. They are eugenicists who want us, if we're not under their outright control, they want us dead. They have a portion every year that they desire to kill off the face of the planet Earth. And those that remain, they want us to be under their control. So we see the oppression, warfare, bloodshed, death, hell, destruction, colonialism, slavery, exploitation. We see trouble everywhere. We see oppression everywhere. The leaders who stand up know that many times their life is in danger. So trust in God who raiseth the dead. The word God in the European Greek is theos. God, goddess, father, mother, Yahuwah. Also the angel, spirit, energy, entities. Trust in life. Trust in the spirit, energy, entities that facilitate life. Trust in, it says, the works of the Almighty. Well, the whole universe is the product of the works of the Almighty. So trust in the universe. Trust in the science of the universe. Trust in protons, neutrons, electrons, the atom, the atom, the cell of life from which we are all constructed from. Nowhere in the universe are there not atoms. Same in Scripture. The atoms are Christ in Scripture. Nowhere in the universe was anything made without Christ. The scientist would say, nowhere in the universe was anything made without atoms. All of us are atoms. All of us are crystals. The Almighty sees us as one atom, one atom, one crystals, one image of the Almighty. And it is our duty to facilitate life, to tune ourselves into the science of life so that we may uplift the human family to live the greatest satiated life that we are to live. The sentence of death was on our heads. Trust in God, Goddess, Theos, who raiseth the dead. My father went to Georgia to see the shrine and the compound of Dr. King, and was sharing with me how Bull Connor wasn't raised from the dead. No one visiting Bull Connor's compound, that man who wrought terror in the hearts of Dr. King and the civil rights movement and the black men and women in Georgia and in the South. No one going to see him, but 1.5 million traveled to Georgia, Atlanta, I think it's Atlanta, to see Dr. King and his wife, beautiful partner in the struggle, Coretta Scott King. That is teaching us that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Coretta Scott King, are raised from the dead. Their physical structure died, went to the earth. But their physical structure lives in that it has become united with the earth again to produce more life. But that spirit, that energy, is raised from the dead. And when you look at the masses of poor working class black, brown, red, yellow, and white men and women, how we have been moving in death, under a death sentence, then we must see that the spirit energy of Dr. King, Coretta Scott King, Malcolm X, Elijah Muhammad, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Fannie Lou Hamer, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, all of these, their spirit energy must be raised from we who are dead so that we may be raised from the dead and live the life that the Most High has commissioned for us to live. Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, it says he, but we know Theos is he, she, will yet deliver us. You also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So he's talking about prayer. Paul, the apostle, the revolutionary, who stood up against the system. Talking about the people, praying for them as they stood for the people. And the word prayer is connected to poverty, impoverishment, want, privation. Meaning that when we pray, we should be thinking about those who are impoverished and destroyed and denied resources, spiritual, mental, moral, and physical by the system. We're praying for our sisters and brothers who are the sufferers, and we are the sufferers under the system. And this prayer for the leaders who would stand up for the oppressed is a gift. Is the grace of the Almighty. That gift, that grace, we didn't deserve that gift and that grace on our own, But doing the work of the Almighty, the prayers, the gifts come to us because of the love of the Almighty for us. Let's take this next break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.